And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony
Rose.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together, after 10 years, we are still Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that
we give the people what they want?
Time for that Tuesday, Thursday podcast exclusive from Jalen and Jacoby. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you can listen to the audio of the television show on a separate episode, but this is the podcast exclusive. This is where we have no rules, unfiltered, no limits. We can talk about anything we want, and of course, we're going to talk about the big game last night between the Lakers and the Sixers. We're going to talk about the Nets' big three getting a win, albeit in overtime. We're going to talk about the Jazz winning not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six.
He got the Jazz.
In a row. But we start with some broken news from Adam Schefter, because basically Deshaun Watson officially asked for a trade like the second week 17 was over. Like, he's like, I'm out of here. I had enough. I had my best year as a pro. We won like, what, 3-4 games. Y'all traded away Nuke. Bill O'Brien ruined the franchise. We don't have any draft picks. So he didn't talk to the GM. He didn't talk to the executive. He didn't talk to anybody. He just said, get me out of here. Now, a couple things I want to ask you about Jalen Rose. Number one, the no trade clause. So that means what exactly for Deshaun Watson?
It's major, Jacoby. It's a game changer in professional sports. As athletes start to make more money, and as we live in a society that values the dollar immensely, you start to have more power. And because of that, when you put it with your talent and your leverage, Deshaun Watson was not only able to secure an amazing deal, but also a no-trade clause, which means he's going to dictate his next destination, not the team. That's really important. And so now he and his agent can start scouring the league and saying, do the Saints have the assets to get the deal done? What's going to happen with the Rams quarterback situation? Are the Niners moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo? Teams that you know are definitely in need of a quarterback of Deshaun Watson's caliber. Now, on paper, for me, only five to eight teams off the top of my head have a quarterback. Everybody else should be trying to get with Deshaun.
Absolutely. And there are
teams that good,
like the Colts and the Dolphins, that come to mind. You know, and one thing I like about this, I always like when players get no trade clauses, because you were traded 75 times in the league. How many times did they consult you or ask you if you'd be happy? How many times were you involved in the conversation? Like, how many times were you involved in the conversation about where you were going to be traded?
That's a terrific question, fam. So, all trades aren't created equal.
Mm-hmm.
When I got traded from Denver to Indiana, it was the summer after my second year. When I first got to Denver, first year, I was renting a crib. Second year, I bought a crib. All season, I got traded. First season, I had three coaches, Dan Issel, Gene Little, Bernie Bickerstaff. Second year, we make the playoffs. Lose to the Spurs, who had the best record in the league that year. David Robinson was MVP. The year he scored 70. They still had Rodman on the team. Get moved that offseason. Wasn't truly surprised. Bernie Bickerstaff, whose son, JB, my nephew, who coaches the Cavs right now, drafted me. And at the time, he was the president, GM, and at that season, the coach. And ownership was unfavorable to him and basically was trying to run him out of town before the team got sold or however it was going. And so that domino led to a lot of the players on the Nuggets ending up elsewhere. And it wasn't just me. Mutombo ended up leaving and going to the Hawks. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was blackballed out of the league for his stance during, for praying during the national anthem. And so I had no say, but I wasn't necessarily surprised. Indiana was in the playoffs. So when I heard that I got traded, I was happy. I was like, oh, dope. I get to play Reggie Miller. Like, I thought that was dope. And then I'm looking like, so they got some guys that's some big physical dudes to play D? Yeah, they do. Yeah, get them, Derek McKee. Get them. Let's make it happen. I'm about to be the starting PG. And so I show up that offseason, Jacoby. This is when the league first started going to Europe. We played against Seattle. And I was killing. And they had Gary Payton and Rain Man. Like, my first game with the Pacers, I don't know if you can look this up, but I think I had, like, 20 and 15. My first game with the team. True story.
15 assists?
Yeah.
No, that's a lie. You lying. I'm not even going to look it up.
I'm pretty sure you can look this up. It was against Seattle, though.
I'll just look up Jalen Rose career high assists. Oh, because this is a preseason game, you're saying.
Oh, hold on. Hit the brakes. No, hold on. We got to hit the brakes. Hold on. I never talk too much about strengths and weaknesses of my game. But Jacoby, I was a terrific passer of the basketball. One of the best lob throwers in the history of collegiate basketball and the league. I was Magic Johnson's dead toenail.
Did have 15 assists. You had a 20 assist game. In 2001.
Oh. Not many people get to do that in an NBA game.
That's a good game. That's a good game.
What else I do in that game?
I don't know. You should know, dog. Aren't you like LeBron? Don't you remember everything you've ever done? Sean McVay style?
No, I ain't good enough.
So, Jalen. So, obviously, Deshaun has some sort of agency over where he's going to end up. But I just want to just remind everybody what he did this season, because we weren't exactly locked in on Texans games. 70% completion percentage, 4,823 yards, 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So if you're Deshaun, do you want a ready-built team like the Colts, or do you want a team that's rebuilding on the rise in a big market like the Jets? Like, what do you think would make him happy?
Here's what I truly believe. And if I said this on the TV show, it'll have to go to the bottom of the ticker. But I'm going to say it here first. I believe when you hear about Deshaun Watson's preferred destination, his number one preferred destination will be the Los Angeles Rams. That's going to be his number one acknowledged destination that he puts on wax as to where he wants to go. Remember, I told you that, David Jacoby.
Good. We'll make you say it again on the television show tomorrow. But that makes a lot of sense. One of, if not the best defense in the NFL. Weapons on offense. We didn't get to see all of them in the playoffs, unfortunately. And Jared Goff on with a mediocre game beat the Seahawks. That's how good this defense is. Now, they did run into some problems in Green Bay, but Green Bay is one of the best teams in the NFL. But if you take out Jared Goff and you put in Deshaun Watson, I'm real nervous if I am any of the top teams in the NFC. If I'm the Buccaneers, if I'm the Packers, if I'm the Seahawks, if I'm any one of those teams in the NFC, the Saints, I'm very concerned if Deshaun Watson ends up
and also
the Los Angeles Rams.
Remember I told you that, dog. There's going to be people throwing teams around. He gonna try to get to the Rams.
Well, Jalen, don't forget this. If you're the Rams, you've got that brand new stadium, and you haven't had a single fan in there. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little post-pandemic, brand new stadium? You got your brand new franchise quarterback. I mean, you would throw the money at that to make that happen. And we all know Deshaun Watson has plenty of money that's gonna come in his way on that contract.
And also, so does the Kroenke family. Remember, Jacoby, when I'm talking, I know things.
Well, he said that David Culley did not sway him to stay. And listen, I have no idea what David Culley is about. You know, I only know what I've read. And I also know some facts that he was the passing game coordinator. Remember that passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach, assistant head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens finished dead last in passing offense. Those are just two facts I just want to put out there. He was the passing game coordinator for the Ravens. The Ravens had the worst passing game in the league. If I'm Deshaun Watson, hiring David Culley isn't necessarily making me stay in Houston. So God bless him. And whatever team ends up with Deshaun Watson is not just going to get Deshaun Watson, going to get a revitalized, something to prove, chip on his shoulder Deshaun Watson, which is very dangerous for the rest of the league. And the idea that he could pick and choose, because the Jaguars could say, hey, you like Trevor Lawrence? You want the number one pick? We'll take Deshaun Watson. And that's something that they would consider. I can imagine if I'm the Texans, I would consider something like that. I'd make them sweeten the deal, but I would consider something like that. But Deshaun Watson can say, nah, I ain't going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. No. And he can just shut that down, which means he has so much sway over where he's going to end up, which was one thing that makes this deal so interesting, because it will not only be the team that wants him, it'll be him that wants the team, which is why this is such a dangerous proposal for the rest of the league. Something that we will keep an eye on for the rest
danger
of this season. And we have plenty. You know what? We're not even going to talk about the Super Bowl today. We got all next week to talk about the Super Bowl. All next week, we can talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to keep this one focused on what's really important. Another disgruntled superstar. I'm going to talk about the Lakers in a second, and we're going to talk about the Nets in a second. But I want to start with this Bradley Beal thing, because we can really talk about this for a while. Bradley Beal scored 47 points against the Pelicans and lost. How many times is the camera going to go to Bradley Beal on the sideline, hands in his head, dejected? In the post game, he's sad. He's frustrated. I think they have 3 wins on the season. They have 3 wins in the season, but you ready for a stat, Jalen Rose? Bradley Beal has a positive plus minus houseway. How is that possible? Explain to me how that's possible.
Well, he has a beautiful family, and they seem to enjoy each other on social media. And he won in the game of life. On the floor, he got some soul searching to do. And here's what it is, Jacoby. When you're the best player, and I'm about to go around the league, when you're the best player, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, when you're the best player, does your productivity make your squad a contending team? And in his case, his productivity doesn't make his squad a playoff team. Because here's what happens when you score 40. I don't got to tell you. And we joked about my assist totals. How many times have you ever scored 40 in a game? Anywhere, anytime?
Who, David Jacoby?
Yes.
You know. Oh, I drank a 40 after a game.
So it's like LeBron, remembering his stats, what's the most that you've ever scored? I know you know.
Well, you can't count rec league stuff because I'm sure that got in the 30s, but I've never scored 40. I know that for a fact. It's like high school basketball, which is probably somewhere in the 20s, but I've never scored 40. I would say my high is probably like 36.
And so when you watch a game, as you know, a lot of times it isn't how many points a player has, it's when he's getting them. And Washington, when you look at their squad, they're just not talented. They was playing against Brandon Ingram, who was an all-star and a max player who averages 25 points. And Zion Williamson was the number one overall pick in the draft and averages 25 points. That's what they was playing against. A better team. They signed Bertans to an $80 million deal. Where he at?
I haven't heard his name.
Right, where he at?
Thomas Bryant like going down is a big deal in court.
Like it, like Tupac when he is in court. Like, where he at? And so, where Russ at? Now, to the defense of the overall situation in the league, they're playing through COVID, and they've dealt with some injuries up front.
Yep.
The big fella got hurt.
Thomas Bryant.
Recently.
That's a big deal.
Bryant, because he can play. He's like a version of Clint Capella to me when I watch him play. And so they're just not good. And you gave me a stat yesterday that's even worse. That Russ has taken 163 shots and scored 163 points.
That was before last night's game, but that's not good, Jalen. That's not good. And he's not getting to the rim. Like, he's shooting the pull-up mid-range shot more than someone that's not named DeMar DeRozan should, or that Joel Embiid should in 2021. Like,
right?
I hope that he turns around. He's dealing with the quad issue. He's been out for a few games. This Wizards team has not been themselves. We mentioned they lost Bryant. Westbrook's been dealing with a quad injury. They've been dealing with COVID issues. They've been having games postponed. It's just been sort of like a perfect storm of terrible for the Washington Wizards. But, man, if you're Philadelphia, are you looking at Ben Simmons and saying, maybe we trade him? If you're Golden State, you're looking at Andrew Wiggins and say, what's it going to take? It's going to take a pick in Wiggins, get Beal out of here. Those are some interesting destinations that could be possibilities because this ain't working. So much so that you mentioned his family, his wife. I hope I get her name right. Kamaya Adams Beal. She tweeted three words during the Pelicans game or after it. Three words: sick of it. And she wasn't. She wasn't talking about anything but Bradley Beal and the Wizards. And you know that she reflects how her husband feels. Man, you know if she's sick of it, he's sick of it. There's only so much more you can take. Only so many times you can score 47 points and not get a win and still be happy. I don't know, man. I know you love Dame Lillard staying with the Trail Blazers. I know you love Giannis staying with the Bucks. If you're Bradley Beal, he calls your phone right now. It's his Uncle Jalen. I know you love it when franchise players stay with their teams through the thick and thin and spend their whole careers in one place. But my man, talk to me. Tell me why I shouldn't leave. Tell me why I shouldn't ask for a trade. Tell me why I should stay committed to this franchise that is only committed to losing ever since I've been here.
Bradley Beal is one of the people during my travels, and it happens to him as well, that people say that we look alike. True story. And so if he called my phone and he said, what should I do? I would say, if you could get to Philly and run with Embiid and Simmons, do it.
I don't know if Simmons is going to be there if he gets to Philly.
If you could get to Philly and run with Embiid, do it. But I got a question for you. Who says no? Washington or Philly, as it relates to centerpieces Bradley Beal and Ben Simmons?
I think Philly says no. I think if Philly still got the best record in the Eastern Conference, like, it doesn't seem to be broke. And you got a brand new coach and things are clicking. I don't know if that's when you make a move. If you see Philly start to slide, or, you know, some of the chemistry issues come up and they hit some losing streaks and they need a change. But right now, Philly doesn't need a change. So I would say no if I'm Philly right now.
All right, well, let me ask you a different way then. Who would you rather have on your team, blank canvas, the next 3 to 5 years, Bradley Beal or Ben Simmons?
I would rather have Ben Simmons because he's younger. If we're talking 5 years out, Ben Simmons will be in his peak and Bradley Beal will be on the way down. It's just age. And I also like the fact that Ben Simmons is just so big and so skilled. I'm high on Ben Simmons more than most people. I love Ben Simmons as a basketball player. I love him as a basketball player.
Why you give me the stanky face when I said it yesterday?
Because you complain about him all the time. Every time you bring him up, you just mention he can't shoot. All you do is mention he can't shoot. That's all you do.
Because I want him to get better in that area of his game. Like, just so you know, I was once a tall guard that had to prove he could shoot. He got to just shoot, dog. You got to just let that thing fly. But here's the one thing, though, that's not good for the confidence. He shoots real air balls. You know what I'm saying? Him and Giannis,
they do.
They shoot real air balls.
They do.
Like, anybody who's played basketball know what I'm talking about. I ain't like
not just missing short, like left and right.
Yeah. Like, soon as you can just tell it's an air ball when it's leaving their hand.
When a teammate runs under the backboard to get the rebound while the ball's still in the air, like those type of air balls.
Yeah, man. But like you said, like I do appreciate, you know, the other areas of both of their game type of thing. But yeah, Bradley Beal to me, it'd be great if he could join somebody. Imagine if, you know, you could get him on the Nuggets instead of Gary Harris or something.
All right, gentlemen, before we move on, there's a couple things that I need to bring to your attention because I know you love Disney Plus, and right now on Disney Plus, they have Marvel Studios' WandaVision, the original series streaming only on Disney Plus. And listen to the first episode of the new rebooted First Draft, ESPN's NFL Draft podcast featuring the legends themselves, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay, hosted by my man, Field Yates. You can find First Draft wherever you listen to podcasts.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, we did talk about the Sixers, and it is worth mentioning that just last night, the number one team in the Western Conference came into the Sixers building where the Sixers are always good, and the Sixers were up by a bunch. Like, it kind of seemed like it was always between about 6 and 14 points the entire game, but they had the ball with like 4 minutes left, up by 12. And then what happened, Mr. Rose?
4 minutes left, up by 12. Here come the Lakers. Caruso, KCP, just getting some effort plays, getting some runouts. And they got back into the game. And the main thing I want to stress about them getting back into the game is that's when Philly struggles. Not necessarily when the game slows down because they have Embiid and you're always better in that half court when you have Joel Embiid. But what I'm saying is, in order for Embiid to function properly in the mid-range, as you said, he makes the best percentage of shots from that area, and we know he's a terrific back-to-the-basket player. We all know it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. He needs space. So when the game slows down and he needs space, it's going to be different than the first, you know, 43 minutes of the game. And Ben Simmons is a big part of that. And if he's on the baseline and he's doing a lot of cutting, that brings an extra defender and it distorts their offense. Yeah. That's just an absolute fact. I'm not even acting like I'm, you know, giving something that anybody that watches them can't, you know, it's hard to have your point guard in the dunker spot when you got a great post player.
Well, one thing about Embiid in the post I want to see more of is I need to send him some Jokic tape, because Jokic sees the double team passing and makes the right read like 80% of the time. Embiid sees a double team, is like, oh, they doubling me? Which shoulder do I have to turn off to shoot? You know what I mean?
Turn the other way.
Yeah. He's like, oh, which side of double come? I'm going to turn the other way and shoot. It's just like, I just wish that he was a little bit more efficient at passing out of the double team, because if he keeps playing the way he's playing, he's going to see a lot more defenders in his area and have to develop that part of his game, because that's a compliment to him, because it deserves the double teams at this point as an MVP candidate with the tear that they're on. And when you notice, when Joel Embiid doesn't play, which happens from time to time, we all know his history, haven't won a game. Sixers have not won a game when Joel Embiid has not been on the floor, which is somewhat of a concern for them. Now, here's a concern for you. I want to know if this is a concern. We all know what happened when the big three for the Brooklyn Nets formed. They lost to the Cavs. All right, that was a Wednesday night. No big deal. They'll play them again on Friday. What happened on Friday? Lost to the Cavs. They've gotten a couple wins since then, but they haven't really been dominating. And there's not a lot of 110 to 130, and last night was exemplary of that. The Hawks took them to overtime, where they won by 4 points, 132 to 128. Now, is it good that they're being tested and winning close games and having great performances from the big three like they had last night? Or is it concern that they should be beating these teams more handily, especially of what we expect from the Hawks and the Nets come the end of the season?
It's always encouraging when you win games, in particular if your best players are leading the way. That's the opposite of what I was saying about Philly. Yes, the Nets are in close games and in overtime games, but you see who's making the plays. Harden, scoring an assist and getting boards, Kyrie, and KD. Their issue in playing basketball, defensive principle can be simple in a lot of ways. And your pillars of that are guarding the ball and protecting the hoop. And so if you can't control the dribble, you ain't going to be able to stop people from throwing lobs. And that's, if you notice, we saw Colin Sexton having his way against the Nets. You saw Trae Young. And so that's going to be an issue on a nightly basis, depending on who comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this. People get confident when they score. You know, you're watching the game. You know, either when they give up their body and take a charge, they might be like, let's go. But guys that, like, really, you know, like, want to show enthusiasm, usually it's after they score a bucket. Yep. They look at everybody like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. So imagine, like, it don't matter that they're three of the top players in the league. The other team is still going to be confident because they're scoring. They're still scoring. So they still getting 110, 115. And now all of a sudden the game going to be close. And so that's what they're going to have to figure out. And they're going to trade for a big. I would love to see JaVale McGee with them. They'll get a big.
Me too.
They'll get a big.
They need to. They need to get a big. They need to get a big that's not just, you know, DeAndre Jordan light, though. They need someone who can at least play a little defense or at least switch on somebody for a while. But they'll get somebody. I think they got like three roster spots open. They might pick you up, Jay. They might pick you up just to have you in the locker room. Just like on that Jared Dudley role. They'll pick you up for that. Now, Jalen, I've been trying to hold back. I've been trying to hold out. I've been trying to not respect and acknowledge this Utah Jazz run, but I have to right now. Not only have they won 10 in a row, I'm watching the game last night, and they have fun doing it. Jordan Clarkson is a bucket, 31 points. Rudy Gobert,
we got the Jazz.
29 points and 20 boards.
We got the Jazz.
Not just a win against the Mavs. Like, the Mavs were supposed to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and Luka Doncic was supposed to be the MVP and supposed to be this and that. The Jazz are here. The Jazz have won 10 in a row, and the Jazz are forcing myself and others to consider them as at least the fourth best team in the Western Conference, if not higher. Where would you put them in the pecking order of the Western Conference, and what has been the key to their success of late?
Realistically, I feel like I've been saying this the last 10 seasons.
What?
In all honesty, for real. This right here. When I look down at the standings, people never talk about Indiana or Utah. And Portland was in that mix for me, too. But they always continue to play well because they find ways to have an identity. That goes for the Pacers this year. What about Sabonis? He balling too.
Mm-hmm.
He putting in work too, getting triple doubles, grabbing boards, playing D.
Man, Jordan Clarkson though. Jordan Clarkson, you remember him on the Lakers, then him on the Cavs. He couldn't really find his way on the Cavs, but he has a role and he is flourishing right now on the Jets.
Well, they have an identity. Quinn Snyder has created that. I've talked about that for years. Like Joe Ingles hit 7 threes. Joe Ingles looks like you with his shirt off.
He'll give you those buckets, though.
You think that's fair to say?
He probably looks better than me with his shirt off, to be fair. Quarantine's been rough. Quarantine's been
rough. And then they got guys like Royce O'Neal playing D, getting steals, catching lobs. They making you pay attention. You know, you're maturing, dog. You're a die-easy fan. Yo,
I'm just looking up Royce O'Neal's height.
With the Bills.
If I just really want Royce to be 6'9 so bad so we can call him Royce the 6'9.
Don't get fired.
That won't get me hot. Royce the 6'9 is fine. Royce O'Neal height. Please be 6'4. Damn it. I don't run off. Don't run off the same way. Congratulations to the Jazz and everybody in Utah. Congratulations to
Real Housewives
of Salt Lake City. Now, Jalen, it's time to talk about some of the things that we can't talk about on the TV show.
Oh, okay.
Jake Paul. He's been news. We all know what happened. He knocked out Nate Robinson. And he's an agitator. But he is DMing the wife of his latest foe, Ben Askren. Your thoughts on that? Soft move or boss move, setting up a boxing match with somebody and then DMing their wife.
That's a soft move. Yawn, man. He doing too much, man. His 15 minutes is over as far as I'm concerned. We need to put his name up in the rafters, dog. I'm telling you, it's over.
Jalen, I know that you're the Renaissance man. You pay attention to so much. And I just want you to briefly explain to our listeners in a very succinct and understandable way exactly what is going on with the GameStop stock controversy.
What is going on with the GameStop controversy?
You haven't been paying attention to this one. See, you're so rich, you got other people taking care of your money. That's what it is. You don't pay attention to these things. You know what? Do some research on it. We'll hit it on at a later date. But that would have been so much fun. Because I've listened to it and read at least 100 people try to explain it very simply, and I'm starting to wrap my head around it, but I don't fully have it. But essentially what's happened is hedge funders, they tried to short the GameStop stock, and then a bunch of people saw that, and they went on Reddit, and a bunch of like regular people kind of screwed all the hedge funders out of billions of dollars, and I'm here for it. Congratulations. That's what happened.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Now, we also have a friend of the show, 2 Chainz.
Bright Lights.
Yeah, I always like it when you do that, 2 Chainz. He was sitting courtside at the Hawks game. They're starting to slowly get back to normal a little bit. What do you feel about courtside at the Hawks game in the middle of the panty?
He doing what he's supposed to. I can't wait to be courtside at the Pistons game.
What does a courtside at the Pistons game right now go for? Like $150? $125?
Did you know 2 Chainz is a minority owner of the Hawks G League team?
Oh, really? Oh, good for him. Good for 2 Chainz.
I got you.
I appreciate that, Jalen. What do you think about the COVID-sniffing dogs at the Heat games? They got COVID-sniffing dogs.
I think in Miami, if they really wanted to have sniffing dogs, they could have did that years and years and years and decades ago. They really wanted to stop some things coming from the port of Miami.
Well, I don't know how the dogs can smell the COVID vaccine. I'm not a scientist, but that sounds fishy to me. I understand the dogs have a very heightened sense of smell, but how are they smelling COVID? How are they smelling COVID? Someone's explaining that. Show me the science behind that.
What about some of the classic tales like Cocaine Cowboys, Port of Miami, M.I.A.O., Happy Birthday, Ricky Rose!
Of course, happy birthday.
And you brought up Renaissance, man. I actually interviewed him this week. Shout out to all of the supporters each Thursday. And likely Rick Ross will be next week's episode.
Jalen, we had the Spurs beating the Celtics, which is that's something.
Spurs, yeah.
But I didn't realize that it was the very first time this entire season that Tatum and Brown and Walker have played in the same game. So the Celtics have had a breakout season from Jaylen Brown. Tatum's been in and out with injury, COVID-related things. Walker's been out with the knee problem. It's been hobbling him for, it seems like, a year now. But I think this is a very good sign for the Celtics that they've been this successful thus far without even their three best players playing at the same time. Can you see them challenging the Nets, the Sixers, for the top spot in the East?
Yes, the Nets are my favorite, but it's going to be a battle because each team has flaws. Because none of those are what I consider super teams.
For the Nets are.
I don't consider the Nets a super team.
Explain.
Because for me, it's like they have fatal flaws. And it's their size and bulk up front and their inability to contain ball handlers. For the Bucks, it's Giannis closing from three and or from the free throw line. For the Sixers, is what I said about Embiid and Simmons. For the Celtics, is their productivity from the five spot. So each team has a fatal flaw. Now, mark my words, the teams that I'm telling you that struggle against teams that are physical and big up front might be good against each other, but turn around and lose to a squad like Indiana. Because that's actually what they have. And Miles Turner, who leads the league in blocks, and Sabonis, who's wrecking the league this year. They traded Victor Oladipo, and Caris LeVert ain't even playing, and they still balling.
Mm-hmm. Big shout to Caris LeVert. Had successful kidney cancer surgery. They said that there's no treatment after this surgery, so he's basically just has to rehab his the post surgery wounds. But I don't have a timeline on it now, but it seems like he should be back potentially this season for sure.
When I say this, you know what I mean, dog. I love him, dog. I love him. He's a good dude.
Oh, good for you, Jaylen. Good for Caris LeVert. Jaylen doesn't give that to everybody. What we do is give the people what they want. Part of that is listening to you, the people. So right now, push pause in the podcast. Rate us and review us on Apple. That's important. It just takes 40 seconds of your time. Just do it, please. Just rate us, review us on Apple, and then call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show just like this one.
Hey, you guys. This is Philip from Germany, currently in Las Vegas, supporting your show for quite some years. I have a question, cultural or regional? Going to the street court playing basketball on a single hoop, shooting while other guys are playing pickup. Them asking you, hey, you want to join us? And you say, oh, no, I'm good, I'm just shooting. I appreciate it, guys. See ya.
Whoa. Because, all right, first of all, Jaylen, you're the greatest NBA analyst in the world, but I'm the greatest pickup rec league basketball player in the world. And there's very few instances. I would say a one-on-one game is the only way you can shoot around a game on the same hoop. If they're playing 2-on-2, that you just can't shoot on the hoop. You can get some shots up between games, but you can't. If it's a single hoop, you can't shoot at the same time I'm playing a game. Like something has to give, and I'm assuming that the shooter got there first. Something has to give. I'm not playing only one-on-one. I've shot around a one-on-one game. You can kind of catch the rhythm of where people are going to go and how it's going to work and this short burst of activity and little breaks in between. But no. If I'm playing a 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 on a hoop, you can't shoot on that hoop. So I'm going to say that's impossible. I don't know if it's cultural or regional. It's just not happening. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
You know I try to be a kind, open-hearted human being.
You do.
There's certain things that people do to make me judge them. Like if I see you and you're walking through the airport with a ring pillow around your neck, like I am judging you. Maybe I shouldn't, but I am. I'm judging the dude that's trying to shoot while we trying to play. Like, just imagine how many places I've played basketball in my life. Different neighborhoods, different courts, different backyards, different environments. Some of them were safe, some of them were unsafe. Shout to Brother Phil, rest in peace, to the Belmont. Used to go up there and run with DC and them. We used to play to 140. Like, all types of runs. And therefore, there are all types of other people in the gym who ain't currently involved in whatever run is happening. One-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, four-on-four, five-on-five. For whatever reason, they're not involved in the run. It's one who... Dog, this ain't your house. If you wanted a personal hoop, go talk to your parents about putting up a hoop where you live. For real, like, dog, and what was crazy, Jacoby, is sometimes that used to be the head buster in the hood. Like, yeah, I wish y'all would tell me to move. You know what I'm saying? Out there with the coat on and the Tims, like New Jack City. Like, for real, for real. Like, I know y'all trying to run and all, but like, that's what I think of when I see videos of, like, Fat Joe and Khaled playing. That reminds me when I was young, when Cash used to just be out there trying. No, dog, you got to move, dog. You got to get on your Luda. You got to move, get out the way.
You got to get out the way. Well, I have a couple things. Number one, I'm not a great basketball player, but do you know I'm Hall of Fame at Jalen Rose? I'm Hall of Fame. No, I'm not even good. I'm not good at basketball anymore, but I'll play if I'm just not good. But I'll say this. I'm Hall of Fame at shooting on the hoop that no one's using during a full court game and not interrupting the game. I'm Hall of Fame at that. Like, I know what angle to shoot from. I got the timing. Don't worry if there's a steal. I got my head on a swivel. Yes. I know not to shoot threes because the rebounds can get crazy long. Like, I've got that down. They will never. Because, you know, sometimes there's a fast break or something and someone's there and you have to, like, check up the ball and everybody gets mad. That will never be me. I think it's probably happened to me, like, three times in my entire life. I am the Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Fame at shooting around on the opposite hoop when 10 people are playing full.
And imagine Jacoby being a young whippersnapper that was winning Christmas tournaments in middle school, scoring 40 points, going to the number one high school in the country. And imagine how I was when I lost a game, like playing rec ball or pickup. I'd be doing that, like get a workout in while the whole other game going on.
Yep.
Be pissed that I just lost. Can't believe I just lost. Man, don't want no water, none of that. And y'all can tweet us, hit us on IG, leave a comment on Apple, Spotify, Reddit, wherever. But I need to know this. Where in pickup basketball across the country do you guys feel people take the most time in between games?
Los Angeles, California. It's not even a question. Of all the cities I've played in, it's Los Angeles, California. It's not even close. Not even close.
Because I said this before, and I agree with Jacoby, but I just wanted to make sure I'm being fair.
I played inside. I played outside. Dudes have conference calls. You know, like, it's like everyone goes to their phone and starts picking up their phone, like has to, like, catch up and everything. Like, I watch like 20-minute breaks. Outside, dudes are smoking medicinal. Like, rolling it. Like, I remember one time I was playing outside in my neighborhood, and this dude won a game, and he started twisting up. And I'm like, yo.
Right. You're supposed to have that already ready.
He didn't hit a clip for a couple seconds. Like, he just started breaking up. And I'm like, oh.
Right. No, we ain't got time for that. We ain't in your living room, dog.
That's 10 minutes. At minimum, 10 minutes.
Exactly. And stop dumping the tobacco on the court.
Yeah.
Stop polluting.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? I saw a dude take a phone call in the middle of a game. In the middle of a game, take a phone call.
I hate people
while nine of us are sitting around waiting. Nine people sitting around staring at him and he's sitting on the phone, like not even on some serious, yo, give me, real quick, I'm in the middle of something. Can we just get down to the bottom of what you need? Like,
yeah, that's selfish. That's selfish.
People. Yeah, he was kind of showing out. Man, that dude.
That was selfish.
I didn't like my neighborhood court when I lived in L.A. So I'm not gonna make sweeping judgments about Los Angeles basketball. In the particular, I lived in Silver Lake. Right,
that's
why
we asking.
At that
that's
court, that asking. Court, that court. There's some frustrating. There's some frustrating elements to that court. Some frustrating elements. But man, I had a lot of fun there. I love playing basketball outside. I miss it. It's too cold out here in New York. Appreciate the call, Philip. So I don't know how Philip got from Germany to Las Vegas, but man, I can't think of two different places on the planet. Just diametric opposite places on the planet, Germany and Las Vegas. A big shout to Philip. We have time for one more voicemail on this podcast exclusive, Jalen and Jacoby.
Hey, shout out Reg, the Ledge. This is Darian from Dayton, Ohio. For both Jalen and Jacoby. So, Jalen, as you know Mike Tyson personally. So, I'm sure you're aware that he used to wrestle and play fight a tiger that he owned. So, my question to both of you fine gentlemen is, what amount of money would have to be on the table for you to wrestle a tiger, a fully grown tiger? Hey, keep giving the people what they want. I appreciate y'all. I listen to y'all every day at work. Peace out.
Yeah, I love this question, Jalen Rose, because we put a lot of time and effort, Jalen more than me, into the pictures that end up behind us on the studio walls. And I had a picture for years in the studio wall of Mike Tyson in like what looks like diapers, but it's really like whatever underwear looked like in ancient Greece, like some white linen skivvies, I want to call them. And he's wearing those. He's in a water fountain, like an actual fountain, wrestling a white albino tiger. The tiger's on its hind legs. Like he's wrestling a tiger in motion. And that was behind me on the wall in the studio. So my man from Dayton, Ohio, yes, we do know that did happen. So I'm going to acknowledge that existence and shout myself out for that picture that I miss so much. It's on my desk right now. But Jalen, my question for you is, what's your number? What is your number? $1 less, the answer is no. $1 more, the answer is yes. What is your number to wrestle a full-grown adult tiger?
I'm not doing it. That's a death sentence. For me, that's like walking to the edge of a cliff or playing Russian roulette. I'm not doing it. So you just got to kill me.
Wait. You wouldn't walk to the edge of a cliff?
No.
You're not even walking up to the edge?
Of course not. That's too close. No. If I see extinction to the left, I'm going to the right.
Okay.
That's just how it is.
Hold on. What about one of those bulletproof glass floors that they have on, like, the 100th floor in some of these buildings in the observatory? Would you stand on that?
Knowing that millions, not the
edge of a cliff, millions of people have stood on this exact same floor as yours, just see-through, just like any other floor, but it's see-through, and you can see
thousands of feet down. I don't need that rush. I don't need that.
I would do that. That sounds fun to me.
No. And I'm pretty sure if I'm in a position to do that, I mean, I had a nice lunch, probably some sake and some sangria or something. I don't need that in my life. I'm good. I'm good.
There is no number for you to wrestle with a tiger.
But here's what I would say about that.
I would wrestle with a trained-ass tiger. I'm wrestling with a tiger that's, like, sedated. It's been in Siegfried and Roy for, like, 20 years. It's used to being around humans. Like, I'm not wrestling a tiger straight out the jungle. Like, no. I'll wrestle a tiger that's, like, born in captivity, one of them circus tigers, speaks English, smokes cigarettes. Like, one of those tigers. I'll wrestle one of those tigers, those hard-working blue-collar tigers on the road all the time, like a metal band in the 90s. But, no, I'm not, unless it speaks English and smokes stogs, I'm not wrestling a tiger.
You're talking about one of those animals that lives under cruelty.
Yeah,
premises.
Man. Yeah, man. Those can snap on you.
So here's the thing. That's an iconic picture of Mike, absolutely. One of the greatest sports iconic pictures and moments in the history of pitchers. But what I will say, and we talked about this on the show the other day, everybody know, I'm pretty sure, you know that he about to fight Evander Holyfield, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. So it just goes back to what I said before. Mike Tyson will fight anything or anyone. and like there's only a few people like that. Like, for real. If he's the opposite of me, if he sees extinction on the left,
he goes to the left.
He's going that way. He is going that way. He's going to the edge of the cliff. He's going to take off his shirt, flex, all of that. Me, I'm good. I'm in a fetal position.
As long as Mike Tyson's fighting, I'm buying it. I'm buying it.
Absolutely.
He looked powerful in that fight against Roy Jones. I don't want to see Roy Jones fight again. I want to see Mike Tyson fight again.
The main thing is because Mike was in shape and Roy wasn't able to get in the kind of shape you was used to seeing him in his prime.
No. Well, we appreciate the call. Big shout to Las Vegas, Dayton, Ohio. All these calls. Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail.
Do you know anything about the Dayton family? Call back and let me know if you ask your family and your friends about anything about the Dayton family.
Okay. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.